There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Banging Book Club, where we read books about sex and or gender and discuss it. I'm Hannah Witten.
I'm Lena Norms.
And I'm Lucy Moon.
And this month we read Testosterone Rex by Cordelia Fine.
Ooh, and isn't she fine?
Damn fine.
I wonder what Cordelia's life was like at school. Be like, hey Cordelia, fine.
I don't think fine was in our like slang lexicon.
It's quite American,
then,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite
I just imagine all the boys being like, ah, that Cordelia, she is fine.
Maybe that's in our dreams.
Yeah. Or you used to get feedbacks on my tests that were like, good, okay, fine.
Yeah. Also, stick around to the end because we have a very important announcement.
That's like the Grease the xylophone.
Oh, yes. Oh my god. Sorry, I love Grease so much.
Also, the subtitle of this book is Unmaking the Myths of Our Gendered Minds. And there's a quote on the front, actually, from Naomi Alderman, author of The Power, which I'm still reading.
You can do it!
I will get
there! Where are you?
I'm at...
Spoiler alert.
Where am I?
Did you get to the part where the dinosaurs come?
I don't think I've
She hasn't got there
part.
Yet, clearly.
No.
I'm joking.
Oh. I was like, I know I missed the last 25 pages, but bloody hell.
Lucy's like, I must stop skim reading stuff. I missed the dinosaurs in The Power.
That's my big fear about skim reading, that one of you will bring up the best bit of the book and I won't have seen it.
I'm like two-thirds of the way in.
Okay.
So a lot's happened.
Yeah.
The Margot woman, who I quite like, has like become governor.
Oh yeah, she's cool.
Anyway.
I think Margot is Melania. That's my info.
Anyway, Naomi Alderman's quote for this book is, as thrilling and mind-bending as any novel, for anyone with an open mind, it's a revelation. Would we agree?
Yeah.
I feel like, boy, does she prove that our minds are gendered, but also
I wish, one thing about this book is I wish I could memorise it so that when I meet people who really genuinely think the opposite way to me, I can use all the examples and study, but I'm also like not remembering it because I so rarely meet those people in my real life.
I feel like I just want to be like, you're cunty because of society, not because of your not because of your hormones.
But I think what's significant about Cordelia Fine is that she's really embedded in the science world. She's won loads of science prizes, and there'll be some very serious people reading it and have read it and read it, and they're the people that really will listen. And
because it does feel very academic.
Yeah, and
well,
I think it's for it's other like it is like commercial non-fiction, but it's also for the other people in her field.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's building on other research that people will know about, and that's what's revolutionary about it. So for the layman reader, which is what we are,
it can be quite intense.
It can be quite intense.
Shall we do our sound reviews?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. That's me as a T-Rex trying to keep up with Cordelia Fine.
That's what I thought that was. Lena's doing little
tiny
arms.
Talons. So yeah, that's why I felt like a tiny T-Rex.
Oh, now I need to think of one. Hannah, you go next.
Okay, it would be like, that's like it's fascinating, but the struggle of reading it.
It's like a T-Rex being born.
Mine is,
uh-huh.
I think that was mine.
Cool.
You're like, I hear you, Cordelia Fine.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I like the way you've approached this, but I have already read a little bit too much of this. I think the big thing... Well, no, don't worry. We shall hold.
I think we've... Because of the nature of this, we've read quite a few, like, science, feminism, commercial books.
Yeah. One thing...
And some of the studies keep coming up, which is cool.
Yeah. But one thing that I will say about this, which I've already said to you two, but I'll say it for the readers.
Go on
readers.
Then. Pretend it's the first time.
Okay.
Tell us.
Pretend this is the first time I'm telling you this hilarious thing. So when we read last year Come As You Are by Emmeline Nagoski, one of our like main complaints, I guess, of it, we were like, oh, it's really repetitive, and it was like a 400-page book, and it could have been a 200-page book. Mm. And we found that quite frustrating, but at the same time, another comment that we had about that book was that it felt very teachery, and the repetitiveness was like to drill into you. And actually, I think all three of us came away from that book really having understood what she was talking about and being able to relate it to our own lives. And then when I was explaining this to you, Lena, you were like, careful what you wish for, because that's basically what's happened with this book, which is a very nice condensed 200-pager, but... fuck, is it hard to follow? Like, because it isn't really for us, maybe. And so it's like, unless you reread it a million times and like highlight everything and read it really slow, it's really hard to like remember what you've read.
Mm. I think it's designed to be, or to become, a classic text of feminism or of gender.
Well, I think that's what her first book.
I think it will be a classic. I think that's how it will be preserved, and that's why I think this style of writing makes sense. It's an essay.
Yeah.
It's literally academic essays.
And it's watertight as well. Well, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but I feel like she's not just like, remember that experiment? Well, that proves this and then this. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to walk you through all of the logics of this and why it is wrong.
Yeah.
That like, bit where she like walks you through the statistics and it's just like, it's point this is how you plot the graph to prove this thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's heavy. I was reading it, trying to imagine it. Like, okay. Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, I've quite enjoyed making myself a cup of tea, sitting down with my highlighters and my pen and reading it through like I'm back in uni. That's how I've read this book. And look, like,
oh my god, that's so proud.
Where's my colours? Oh, you can. I've highlighted loads of it, but it looks like I've highlighted none of it. Anyway, there's
but
loads
of you've turned down loads of pages and it looks.
Yeah, I've got loads of cornered pages and like bits of pen.
Most of it's the funny stuff, but then there's also bits that are like, I've got some bangers. Like, facts I found out that I'm just like, I can't believe
that's
this
the thing
exists.
I think it is like really intense, but it is also, I think, really funny. And it's not funny in a way that it's like personal anecdote that's really long and then got a punchline. She's just really, she's like in the margins, just the sassiest
funny. And she's very self-aware as well.
Yeah.
And she
is
very, I don't know, direct with the reader, I guess.
Yeah, I think she's
quite like, you do feel like she's talking to you.
I feel like this is the wittiest book we've read. She writes this bit so basically every study that's tried to prove that testosterone makes men one way, and then I guess estrogen and progesterone make women another.
Well, it's the lack of testosterone.
Yeah, the lack of testosterone making women another is all based on animal studies.
Yeah.
And she basically, the whole argument, I think, if you could summarise it, is human beings are so complicated, one, less affected by testosterone. Three, these studies were done not necessarily unbiasedly or correctly. And four, we are all shaped by society way more than anything else.
Yeah. And it is it's not like a nature versus nurture. Well, it's a bit of both. It's like, no, it seems to just be nurture.
Yeah,
yeah.
Humans. Exactly. Humans are so similar, and even compared to every other kind of species, like the humans, male and female, are so similar in so much of our genetic makeup that it just seems to be like marginal, the differences that really are there.
Yeah, totally. To be honest, like out of all of the, I guess, feminist readings that I've done or read like over the years of being a feminist, this is the one that's kind of convinced me that we just need to get rid of like the words masculine and feminine like as adjectives to describe things like clothes and behaviour and traits and colours and like everything. Because, you know, even now, when discussing gender in what I hope is a very like or trying to be like an enlightened way, I'll say things like, things that are traditionally feminine, but I'm always using air quotes.
Yeah.
Because you're always talking about things in the context of your society in which things are very much still understood through that, oh, that's masculine, that's feminine. And I'm like, why? Now I'm just like, no, yeah. We need to literally crush the whole thing.
I definitely, before reading this book, thought it was like, as Lena was saying, nature or nurture, a bit of both.
Yeah.
And now this has turned that on its head. I really didn't realise quite how little those hormones play in a role in like our traits, our characteristics. Mm-hmm. I think it's underplayed in this book what an effect they have on our bodies. Because I think like even the slightest hormonal change in women can cause loads of stuff.
But I think that's because we're just like fertile people who are like, you know, it doesn't always affect like our abilities or... That favourite, like, sign that I see at loads of marches at the moment is, like, anything you can do, I can do bleeding. Yeah. And that's my favourite thing. But, yeah, I think one of the things at the beginning that really, like she started setting up the foundation for her argument was that, I can't remember it properly, but there was this test with mice, potentially, and this really famous scientist did it in 6 sets. He did it 6 times.
Oh, yeah.
And 4 of them disproved his theory, and 2 of them proved it. So he took the 2 and was like, definitely true.
Yeah.
And then every other time that his next generations of scientists quoted him, they just used those 2 examples instead of all
what was published.
6 of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Mind-blowing. And that's the kind of science where you're like, oh yeah, I don't know about the science world, I might know a little bit about science, but I don't know about the science industry and the way it works, and that is one of the way it works, and that is fucked.
Yeah. I didn't realize I don't trust science as much.
I know. And you want to, because we're now in this
I trust Cordelia Fine.
But also we're in this like political climate now, I guess, where a lot of people are very skeptical of experts, and I'm very much in the camp of like, no, that's why we have experts. And so I do want to trust experts. Like, I think it's very important, because then, you know, you have people who are not experts making decisions about very important things.
I think we need to
subtweeting Donald Trump.
I think we need to focus on the current contemporary experts. I think that's the best way to combat this, because that study we're talking about was done in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Lots has changed.
So bias around. And
exactly.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that science is, like, completely free of bias now.
No, you know? Not at all.
I think it's like...
But we can pick the bias we like.
Yeah. I think we always, like, as, like, a layperson, I, like, always fall into the trap of being like, science says.
Yeah.
And I've realised that that's not a thing. And I should be like, this scientist. In the same way that you can't be like, literature says that.
Yeah.
You know, that would never be a thing.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, dear. YouTube has decreed that feminism is wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, I'm definitely going to be less, like, general about when I'm like, science says, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like we've gone off on a kind of, like, first thoughts tangent.
Yes.
But for our dear listeners who are like, what the fuck, I'm not going to read this book, it's too sciencey. It's basically the whole testosterone Rex thing. Testosterone Rex is like the old-timey view that there is a lot more testosterone in men than there is in women, and that is effectively why men and women are different. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and all of the masculine traits is caused by testosterone and da da da.
And you can't get away from that.
That's you can't just get away from it, because it's all nature.
Yeah.
Your nature.
But we're not even just talking boys will be boys. I think it's important. It's the little assumptions, but the ones that make up a lot of our perception on masculinity.
Yeah.
For example, men are take more risks. Men are more likely to ask for a pay rise.
Yeah.
More promiscuous.
And all of that is because of testosterone. And like the Tyrannosaurus Rex,
aggressive.
Testosterone Rex is also extinct, which is Cordelia's final point. You don't need to read the book.
Yeah.
That's it. No, totally. Yeah. It basically, argues that we're all very similar.
Yeah.
Really. That was actually really shocking for me, because I've always been very much like, but there are like visible differences, and like I know enough men and women to like know the differences between them. But then I guess it's just all nurtured differences.
Yeah, it's all socialised.
I was like reading this book today, finishing it, and I was wearing a dress, and I was just like, why am I wearing a dress? And why doesn't my boyfriend wear a dress? Like, I have so many questions.
I want to read... But, can, oh, go on,
sorry.
Go on.
one of my favourite, like, points that, like, speaks to that, which is, like, near the end, was she was talking about this instinct for men to nurture and look after children, and how that is completely, that can be hardwired or not, depending on nurture.
Yeah.
And just, and
yeah.
it's also that most species are adaptable. So any you drop, I know what it was. There was, like, loads of generations of male mice that they bred to be aggressive, and they bred aggression into them. So just pick the most aggressive ones, made them breed in isolation for 43 generations. So they had the fucking most aggressive, like, gang of mice. I don't want to see these. If it was almost an American Tale, it would be, like, absolutely horrendous. Anyway, these really aggressive mice, and then they took one of these aggressive mice and they put it with calmer mice, and it just became calm.
And it got raised by calmer mice.
And it's also, like, when you drop these mice into a situation where they're just with one young mouse, they'll become completely maternal and raise the mouse instinctively. Without having... But she jokes that she's like, well, we can't actually do that with humans because we don't adapt as fast, or we're not as intelligent as mice in some ways. And it takes so much... Because also, mice don't have, like, literature. She didn't make this point, but I was thinking, I was like, mice don't have literature and culture to inherit when they grow up. So they, you know, actually have to, like, change our literature and our culture. And, and they don't inherit the same kind of, like, thought processes that we do. So actually, we're shitter at it, and... You should be able to just drop a man in with a baby and be like, go.
I think a really, really big point of this book was just don't compare humans to animals.
Yeah.
We are so different. Because every time she takes a study, basically the first point she makes is, and this was mice, remember? We don't behave like mice.
Yeah.
And also any thesis you have about humans, you can probably find a species that mimics it and then use that species to prove humans.
Yeah.
You can just go for dung beetles or jellyfish,
and then she'll just tell you exactly about another three different very specific types of bird that do not mimic this pattern.
It's just like, think of all of the things that humans have that affect the way that we think and behave that animals don't have. Like, it's infinite. It's all of the things.
Totally.
All of the things.
Mind blown.
Monkeys don't have Twitter. You know?
Can we call the episode Monkeys Don't Have Twitter? It's like monkeys with typewriters, but monkeys with Twitter.
Oh. But I think one of the reasons why a lot of these studies look to animals is, one, because a lot of the shit that they do to them, they couldn't do to humans, like castrate them.
Oh my God.
Like, that was in here. But also what was my point? Holy fuck. We look to animals because we... like to romanticize or think that
we're like animals.
That's our nature, because having culture, having all of these other things that we inherit, like literature and politics and movies and
morals
and religion and everything, having all these other things that we inherit, aren't human. But you know, the jungle is
cavemen
is our nature.
That's our origin.
But actually, I think one of her points was, well, no, all of these things that we do have are now human.
Yeah.
And so, like, 100% have to be, like, taken into consideration when looking at the differences or non-differences between the sexes. Ooh, there was one thing that she did in terms of her language that I really liked. Because you know how often in language we'll say the opposite sex, which...
Oh yeah.
Like, now as, you know, as people who understand that, you know, there's more than one sex, there's more than one gender, infinite genders and genders spectrum, you can't say opposite because that implies a binary. But in this book she says the other sex, which
I didn't notice that.
That because she was like, da-da-da, other sex.
Nice.
Which I thought was like a good way of acknowledging the spectrum of gender, but also
we know what she's talking about.
So she's literally talking, like, about sex.
Yeah,
the communication was still there, like the point was made.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't really have to be blue corner and red corner, like
exactly
the opposite sides, like, of things.
Yeah, which I thought was cool.
Can you just not wait until we stop getting like fucking Facebook videos that are like a minute long of something inspiring, and it's like, share it with three of your closest female friends, or like, if you know a man who's just like this,
oh man,
retweet.
Also in the publishing world, like, all these, this book is for millennial women, and I'm like, is it all of the millennial women? Would all millennial women like
the
that
number of
we also, are so similar
the number of I'd imagine you both get this the emails that come through my door, my inbox.
I like
door.
The idea that everybody has to email you has to post something through your door.
They bloody should have to.
And then it'd be like the Harry Potter first movie every morning.
But no more blasted letters.
I feel like any product, if you try hard enough, can be associated with empowering women. Oh, I just have seen everything on the spectrum. Mm.
Feminist capitalism.
Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
like a disempowered woman.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
what
just
I'd
like
to read
what
about.
What is your weird flavour of empowered woman? Because I'm white and straight and cis and... And I'm sorry, I don't want to make your cleaning product about being an empowered woman.
Yeah, cleaning product.
Yeah.
When I'm bent over the toilet, cleaning up my husband's shit.
Yeah.
I feel so
but I feel so empowered. Yeah.
Oh. I love using my non-chemical disinfectant. Oh, so empowered. Sorry.
Something else that relates back to that that I thought was like interesting was how when you... So most of the tests that scientists use are about animals... Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I always hear is when they survey people.
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah.
70% of women say this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, how many people did you ask? Yeah. And in what context? And she makes the very good point that because of social conditioning, women are more likely to underestimate the amount of sexual partners they've had.
Yeah.
And men are likely to overestimate. And she's like, well, the numbers suggest that somebody's lying because these people are having
sex with
each other.
Oh, yeah. That was the best bit of the book for me, was when she completely unpacks this idea that men have, like, men are meant to and biologically designed to have sex with 100 women, and women are designed to, like, rear, like,
children with one person. Yeah,
rear children with one person. And she completely unpacked that myth. We all have sex and have babies as much as each other.
And also,
it's not very much.
Because they say,
I liked
great.
That. She, like, did the numbers game of it all.
Yeah. I've got to play this. So in the audiobook, it's
hilarious.
Does
she go, 0,
I was,
zero,
oh my God.
Zero,
I was,
zero,
well, I was
zero,
absolutely
zero.
Wetting myself.
Wait, should we give context this before you play it?
Yeah, sorry, hold on.
So it's the, like, is how
Wait,
many,
it?
Isn't it the percentage?
So
no,
basically,
the likelihood.
So I've got something written down.
Okay.
Tell me if I'm wrong, I'm going to attempt to explain this.
Okay.
So the argument for this whole, like, promiscuous men and, like, women who just want to settle down thing is that women can only produce so many kids in their life, and they're only fertile for a certain window, so they can probably produce about 15 kids of their life, like, if they died at the end of it, like, all mm-hmm. these women can have 15 kids, that's insane. Some people can have like 40 anyway,
it's unbelievable,
but men can have as many as they could possibly, no, they can be fertile and, like, make hundreds and hundreds of kids. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're more promiscuous. And she's like, well, actually, no, like, competition wise that wouldn't make any sense because there's only so many women. So there's actually no biological reason for that to be the case.
Yeah.
And she does this calculation where she's like, for women to get pregnant, they'd have to have, on average, sex 173 times. And so 170...
A year, right?
Yeah, in a year.
Yeah.
To have one pregnancy. So that's like 172 non-reproductive sex moments, which the men are participating in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then she was like talking about how many times a man would have to have sex to match that estimation of them being that much more productive. She's like, well, they'd have to sex 100 times a year with different partners to be...
Oh, yeah, sex with 100 different partners a year, that was it.
Yeah, to be that, to make it make sense, make the maths make sense. But anyway, so then she was like, if they did that and they managed to, like, do that in some ways, this is the amount of, like, percentages it would be possible.
Himself the annual project of producing 100 children from 100 one-night stands has a chance of success of about 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 And they say feminists are wishful thinkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm done. I'm gone.
There's a little bit about wife swap.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I'm trying to remember what the actual context of this is. I think it's about, women being, like, homemakers and men being, like, I don't really know. It's basically about, like, the differences between men and women.
Duh. Yeah.
Anyway. This critical difference between ourselves and other species is perhaps best illustrated by the reality TV show Wife Swap. In this long-running programme, viewers enjoy the mayhem that ensues when wives of generally very different social class, background, personality and lifestyle swap homes, household rules, lives, husbands and children for 2 weeks.
Like Super Size versus
I love that programme. I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah. She says, I think that I can say with low risk of the charge of anthropocentric bias.
Wow.
That there is no other species in the animal kingdom for which this concept would work for 7 seasons. It's true.
Sick burn from Cordelia.
So she just is. It's a really, if you are interested in academic texts, but you want something funny.
She's I want to read very funny. I really want to read her first book, The Delusions of Gender.
Yeah.
Back to the 100 babies thing. I just think it's really important to point out, because I feel like we're a bit all over the place and maybe readers aren't understanding what we're saying.
We're not scientists, I know. I'm sorry.
But so she says it's basically about how unlikely it is that a man can actually reproduce significantly more than a woman if he's sleeping with lots of different women in his lifetime. That actually the whole like men being more promiscuous, like that whole argument is just defunct. Mm. So it's like, for healthy couples, the probability of a woman becoming pregnant from a single randomly timed act of intercourse is about 3%.
Isn't that weird?
So guys, don't bother with condoms. Fuck your contraception. No. I'm joking.
And if that's the thing though, because it does make you go, how did so many of my friends get pregnant?
Yeah, it does as well, because
that's from a single, it's 3% from a single act of intercourse. Randomly timed.
That makes sense.
Whereas, you know, if you're doing it a lot,
All the doctors who were like, a teenager gets pregnant and they're like, it was my first time. And they're like,
Yeah.
What are the odds? Yeah. 3%. The odds are 3%.
Yeah. It's nice to know that's not true though. I just really enjoyed finding out stuff wasn't true that I've assumed all my life was true.
All the stuff that I've suspected was bullshit. But then I was like, no, but the facts.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, ah.
Oh, I found your feminists are wishful thinkers bit. So again, it's about the numbers. So, the men's seductions being, you know, having sex 100 times a year with different women means that every 3 to 4 days, a man needs to be successfully wooing and courting a woman, which just seems very unlikely. But the other thing is that if a man is having, you know, sex 100 times a year, it's like, what are the odds that that woman is fertile at that time? And then also, through the like testosterone Rex point of view, we've been told to believe that men and women are, or men are more attracted to women whilst they're more fertile. There are like certain things going on, but that like is also potentially not true because of the amount of times that men have sex with women who aren't ovulating. It says, regardless, timing 100 seductions so precisely, as in when women are fertile, would not normally be beyond demanding. Even allowing that this remarkable feat could conceivably, sorry though, it's a little pun that she's done there, be pulled off, the chance of producing 100 children is still only, so this is, again, like,
this is another
this
zero.
Is the next 000. So that first one was like, what are the odds of having 100 babies? This is now the odds of having 100 babies if each of those sex acts were very well timed for when the woman was fertile, and it's still like a fuck ton of zeros. And then she said, to put that number in a little context, a man's odds of being killed by a meteorite in his lifetime is 0.000004.
So you're more likely to be,
yeah. And then that's when then they say feminists are wishful thinkers. That's when.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
That line comes in, which is
amazing.
Basically, have sex with the same person a lot that you know is fertile if you want to have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what she says, is that if you... that you are just as likely to have, like, basically a similar amount of kids. I think she said realistically, oh, I can't remember where it was or what the odds were, but somebody doing that, they might have 3 kids in 1 year, whereas a man who has sex with the same...
3 kids in... Oh, a man would have 3 kids
yeah,
in 1 year.
Yeah, a man would have 3 kids. So with the whole thing, you know, he's got that ridiculous chance of having 100, but actually he might have 3, 2 or 3 from that year. Whereas a man who's having sex over and over again with one woman will have 1 child at the end of that. So really, like, it's not that much more, and that kid is gonna, and the one, in the case of the there being just 1 child, that child actually might end up being better off in the long term because of the present parents. So it's like, you know, it's all about survival apparently, and actually, like, what's better?
Yeah,
having an absent.
And it's, but it's also just like the human body isn't set up like that. A lot of like men's supposed urges around being promiscuous, women have those urges too. It's just learned that men's ones are acceptable. So yeah, there's lots of women who are like asked questions or studies done about women having the urge to be promiscuous, and it was like pretty much equal.
Oh yeah, you know that one where they mentioned the study about women being addressed in the street by a random man they haven't met in, was it a university campus?
Yeah, and offers sex.
Yeah, well, he was like, hey, I think you're really beautiful.
Do you want to come back tonight and have sex?
Yeah, do you want to? Obviously, most of the women said no, because we live in a society where we fear
being murdered and raped.
Yeah, like.
So I think that study was used by other people to be like, look, women just aren't as promiscuous as men. And it's like, no,
they
women...
say no to random sex. It's like, wow.
It's like, weird.
But one of the things that Cordelia Fine says is that also the they were also propositioned for a date. And then obviously what isn't taken into account is, of the amount of women who said yes to the date, how many of them would have then had sex after that date.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
that's not taken into account. One of the things, I know that we're not really like going through different themes, so very sorry about the ad hoc nature of this podcast, but one of my favorite chapters was the chapter called Skydiving Wallflowers.
Or I enjoyed that.
The risk taking. And she did that thing where, like, I started like having a point in my head, and then she made it after I started thinking it. I was like, yes. And I was like, well done, Hannah, you're being so smart, because
you second guessed the science
the
lady.
The thought process is the same. We will, or she's just a really good writer and has properly taken me on a journey.
Bit of both.
There
bit
is that. So it was all about risk taking, and how, like Lucy, you said at the beginning that, like, risk taking is seen as like a male trait because testosterone
Makes you
more.
And for the record, I've always, I'm a wimp. happily say I'm a very law-abiding wimp. And my sister is too, and my mum is too. And so I've always assumed it was a gender thing.
Really?
Always.
Just anyway. Just because of, yeah, personal because experience, of you, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people do that, but then it's like such a spectrum that you don't know whether you're...
because we're proper fucking wimps.
I bet you don't even jaywalk, do you?
Oh, no, no, I do that. That's fine. But I mean in terms of like, my dad skydived recently. Skydived. And my mum was like, I cannot believe you'd put yourself in so much danger. Oh my God.
But here's the thing. What we learn from this chapter is that so jaywalking... actually is pretty fucking risky.
Yeah.
And actually, and skydiving, I don't know what the statistics are, but you might actually be more likely to die jaywalking than skydiving.
It said that you're more likely to die if you're pregnant than if you skydive. So
basically getting pregnant if you're is in more the US. Of a risk.
Oh yeah.
If you're in the US, yeah.
Well, they have all those risky laughing, babies.
But they've only studied it in the US. But yeah, you're 20 times more likely to get seriously injured or die during pregnancy than you are in a skydive.
But yeah, like, so the two main things that I learned from this chapter, I don't know about you guys, but one, that actually when men and women were tested for, like, risk-taking tendencies, it was really even.
Yeah.
And they couldn't really find many gender differences at all. And the other thing was that actually what we... at risk is often about perception, and so it's different for everyone. Mm. And then my favourite thing was like the white male effect.
Yes!
Because we're oh, men take more risks, but actually maybe they're not because the world is less dangerous to white men.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
they're the it's only not correlation with being male and risk-taking was this white men thing. If you're a white straight man, you perceive the world as less risky.
They use statistics about white men being the people who are most likely to gamble. And that doesn't show that white men are more risk, like, taking. It shows they've got more money to gamble.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they've got less to lose, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And completely. And just also they were showing all these studies of men who were supposedly in these really, like, risky situations. So they surveyed smokers and gamblers and people who are on the horses and people who do like business shares and stuff like that, and they were only all the men who were into risky business and were only risky in one area, and most of them were only gamblers but they weren't smokers, or they were smokers but they weren't, you know, because they're not naturally risk takers in all fields. They just had this one specific thing they were risky in, which is also, and she was like, well, if it was an inherent thing, they'd be risky in all areas, right?
And also the more you the more you perceive the more you do something, the more you adjust to an idea, the less risky it seems.
Mm.
So, like, for example, people who take drugs lots, you know, when they first started, they would have really feared it. But by the end of it, but not really feared it, but let's say their fear was less anyway.
Mm.
Once they've taken a certain drug 100 times, let's say, let's go like 7.
Yeah.
Let's be more realistic, hopefully. Once they've taken that same drug 7 times, they perceive it as incredibly safe, even though it hasn't got any less safe.
Yeah. Because it's just like,
yeah, so you get people who invest in who are really, really careful with their finances and have loads of ISAs and shit. That's to me what being really careful with your finances is. Yeah. But they take a bunch of drugs, like,
yeah, because they've got another thing. And it's also like with men, it's like they're if you precondition one gender to be more arrogant and make them feel like they should be that way, they're more likely to be more confident. Whereas if women aren't, it's just like a perception thing.
Well, that one of the other studies was done when they were. Men and women were given like tasks to do that would perceive them as either risk takers or not, and then they put a member of the other sex in the room with them so they were being watched, and that changed their behavior because they then acted more in accordance to their like stereotypical gender roles when they felt they were being watched.
So when they've got that binary in the room, they're like, oh, we've got to be the men compared to this woman.
Question. This is slightly off topic but kind of in the same, would you appreciate a book like this for women, or not for women, no.
Mm.
Would you appreciate a book like this, written in a similar way, about estrogen and progesterone?
I think that's what Delusions of Gender is. I started reading it a long time ago and never finished it, but I think that's what her first book, Delusions of Gender, is.
Because I do think they affect people more than testosterone does. Testosterone.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because we're women and pills. And, like, women and hormonal contraception, like, it doesn't change your personality necessarily, but...
Yeah.
I definitely think there's more to unpack there. And I'd have really liked to have
I imagine
that
some of it hasn't bloody been written yet. I think they need to sort out their research on pills.
True, actually. There's
I think we're all like, what the fuck?
This was a book that Cordelia could write because there was so many studies.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, Cordelia, please keep writing more books.
I like wrote a bunch of notes at the end, and one of them was like, there are so many studies, and then I put in like quotation marks because she says it so often as women weren't tested.
Yeah.
It's because all of it's these so like, things are done on
maybe that's the name of the next book, Women Weren't Tested. Just... Oh my God, there's a really good book that I saw at work that's called Eve Was Framed. And it's all about the legal system and how like all women, like the legal system is set up against women. And then I'm like, but Eve Was Framed is such a good...
Oh my God, I want to read that.
And she's coming out with a new book next year called Eve Was Shamed. And I'm like... Anyway,
great. Give whoever's packaged her book up. Who anyway, packages books up for selling?
But the... I think...
Oh, go on.
No, you go.
I've now forgotten.
Okay. my thing was interesting because when... I make all about me, but when I found out I had PCOS and I was like 15 and I didn't really take in much science, all I heard was like, part of the reason that you're experiencing this is because you have more testosterone than most people. And I was like, oh my God, I am a man. And then I was like watching out for manly traits myself. Because
I was like, bro, do I like beer now?
Am I assertive because I've got testosterone in me? And like, it was like a weird thing. Yeah. But
I really remember,
forget that we have testosterone in us too.
Your 15-year-old self was treated unjustly and deserves some like emotional compensation.
Because the doctor was just like, it's because you're fat. He literally said, it's because you're fat, you need to get less fat.
That's not how it works.
I was like, well, obviously, I didn't know the word feminism at that point. And I was like, interesting.
Oh my God. See, that's oh God. Anyway. You have some just, karma is going to be good to you.
But it's interesting because I always think that like testosterone is just this weird thing that we all have. And the same with like men have estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
do they?
Yeah, just less. But like,
great.
Not, yeah, I know. But it's just weird because it's also like all of the, they were talking about the bonding hormones in men and how they're pretty much the same as women and men need the same kind of bonding and they're set up for it. And also that men don't have, like human men don't have a bone in their penis. So it's like suggested that they're not really set up to like overperform sexually because they don't, if they did, they'd have
they're
a
the,
bone
aren't
in their
they
penis.
The only mammal that does, no, the only ape.
Yeah,
where the only have a bone, have a bone in our penises,
so they can't have a constant erection, basically.
Yeah, and she was like, "Oh, if the human race, like their only task on Earth was to reproduce and make more babies, then we'd all be fired, because we're actually quite shit at reproducing."
Can you even imagine if every man had a bone in their penis and they just walked around just like in trousers?
I think trousers wouldn't have been invented; they'd all
well,
be wearing skirts,
be, like tents. Yeah, no, definitely,
that's true. But like on the point of the fact that women also have testosterone in their bodies, one of the things that I found interesting or like took away was that it's not the absolute amount of testosterone that we have in our bodies that makes us different. It's when there's a change in testosterone in our bodies that's what affects behavior. So it's not like you have this man has X amount of testosterone and this woman has less, so therefore they're different, and that affects their behaviour. It's like, no, when that man's testosterone increases or decreases, that might that could change his behaviour a little bit.
Oh, is that the cockerel study, and when the cockerel swallows its gonads or some shit?
And then maybe...
There was a lot of skim reading that happened around that point.
That as well. But yeah, and then if a woman's testosterone increases or decreases, then that could change her behaviour. But then also, it was like, and the other way around, external factors and things that are happening to you can make your testosterone go up or down.
What?
So it was like
mental.
It's like your body affecting your behavior, but then also like external factors in your behavior affecting your body. Like it was like all of these different things.
Mm.
Basically, I just learned that human beings are really complicated, and we shouldn't put people in boxes because of their genitals.
Mm. Yeah.
What are the ramifications of this for trans folks?
I
mean,
know,
it should help them because it's like genders, fucking fuck
yeah,
gender.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. But it's also interesting when you're putting so much testosterone in your body.
Mm.
Yeah, because when I was talking estrogen. To Alex and Jake, because I had them on my YouTube channel for an episode of The Hormone Diaries where we talked about testosterone, because they're both on T. And one of the things that they said is that they can't physically cry anymore.
Is
that a real thing?
And like pre-T, they said that, you know, they would quite easily cry, but now they like feel like they want to but physically can't. And I was like, what?
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I find it really hard to cry. Maybe it's just...
Maybe you've got a lot of tea in you. No, but it's not about the absolute numbers of tea.
Yeah, just...
But no, but for them, it's a change in tea. It, yeah. There's a huge change in the amount of tea in their bodies.
That would be what it is.
It's not the fact that...
That testosterone's there. It's it's the change.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. Also to do with socialising as well. I don't know how much so, but probably in part because they both present as men now.
I've got like one big point that's like very much me playing devil's advocate, but it was just a thought that I had.
That's cool.
I'm
trying to find my notes.
Do you guys remember in the book where she talks about, I don't know if this theory is proved or if it's just her like speculating or like something that she said, which is that, okay, so if our hormone levels aren't something that make us different, what if our hormone levels are something that balance us out to actually make us more similar? So because they do all these studies and they find that men and women are actually really similar, but then why do men have lots more testosterone and women have lots more estrogen, but we're still the same? And so she's like, what if it's a balancing act, right? So if hormone levels, I wrote this down, so I'm like, if hormone levels are a balancing act to make men and women more similar, then the larger amounts of T in men could mean that they are naturally, air quotes, more feminine, air quotes, and need all of that T to compensate. That's my devil's advocate. So actually, women are naturally more masculine and men are naturally more feminine and we need these hormones to balance us out and make us more similar. That's my theory. No,
sounds legit. I mean,
that's what I took away.
There's definitely a sci-fi novel in there somewhere.
There's so much info in my brain now.
Like, imagine if you stripped us all of our hormones and then it turned out that
we were incredibly different,
but women were from Mars.
God, women have always been from Mars. We're wonderful Martians. Cordelia, we really like you.
Her end points, I think what's good about Cordelia is that the beginning of the book is very like, okay, so this is how we think we see gender in the world. Let's roll with that. Let's play that out. Let's unpack that. And she's very patient.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the book is very much a rallying cry to like, if you like science, you're gonna have to be a radical feminist. That is just the fucking way it is. And she was also like,
the end was basically a call to action.
And it was like quite a big, it wasn't just like, we should change things. She's like, look, if we carry on the way we are, it's gonna take another fucking 200 years and nobody's got time for that shit. So if you want to change things, you might as well, you know, nobody likes suffragettes.
Like, maybe it's time to be less polite and more disruptive.
Yeah, she's like, deeds, not words.
She was
basically like telling me to put, well, you know, I don't know.
I literally wrote, what does this look like now? I underlined deeds and was like, I'm like, Cordelia, what are you telling me to do?
I
like,
I don't think she's allowed to tell us. No, she's not allowed to tell us to put a stink bomb in a post box.
In a laboratory.
Oh my God, I went to the Royal Mail Museum the other day. Don't even start. Did you know that the suffragettes don't... Stop laughing! Anyway, it's behind King's Cross. Behind King's Cross, okay. And they have a train, and it's like, it's called Mail Rail, and you can go... Anyway.
Oh, yeah! Oh my God, I really want to do that!
Anyway, did you know that the suffragettes posted themselves to Parliament because they couldn't get a meeting with them, so one of them got in a fucking box and just posted herself to Parliament? There's a whole exhibition about
it. That's amazing.
Incredible. Okay, so anyway, Cordelia is telling us to post ourselves to Parliament is basically what I took away from this.
How we'll get 50-50
Parliament. Yeah, deeds not words. But anyway, I thought that was interesting, like, because her whole career is very much based around words and arguing and reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is words, but she's like, but deeds.
But now it's time.
Now it's time, my pretties, fly. Fly.
I think that's a really nice point to end on, but I just want to read out one more quote, which I think summarises what we all now know about hormones. And this isn't actually a Cordelia quote, she's quoting someone else. Anyway, hormones then are not part of a biological program that influences us to act out the desires of our ancestors. They are a dynamic part of our biology designed to give us the ability to respond to the physical, social and cultural environment.
There
you go.
They're gifts that we can use however we like to respond to what we need to do.
Ooh,
equality.
I feel like all the science books we've read have just been like, you have gifts. Look after yourself. Nourish yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
nature has bestowed on you tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's look after those.
If you can hack it, I would just highly recommend reading this.
Yeah. It's only 200 pages. It's just...
It takes a while, though.
It's just full on.
Well, how long does it take you to audiobook it?
7 hours.
Oh, bloody hell. What, on 1.5
speed? 1.25
speed
because of the facts.
Yeah.
I usually do 1.5 speed, but there were facts.
There were facts. Okay, and that was 7 hours.
Zero, zero, zero.
Is that 7 hours on 1.25 or...?
It will be 7 hours total,
Okay,
at normal, because that's what it says.
Yeah, I think it's 7 hours total, so it must have taken me, like...
Less than that.
Great, cool.
Maths.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's a good couple of hours of your life.
Mm. But get a highlighter.
Yes. Oh, I love 100%.
Get a highlighter, turn corners, ruin your book.
It's worth it.
Would you have sex with this book?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that I feel like that's the only time.
That was a really unanimous line.
Really, I feel like it's been a while since we said we'd have sex with a book as well. Like that, like
yeah.
We are enthusiastic consenting partners to this book.
Yeah, lifelong.
Yes.
Staying on the bookshelf.
Before we end this podcast, we have an important announcement to make. Amazing. First of all, next month we are reading The Colour Purple by Alice Walker, which I'm very excited about. I've already read it.
I'm looking forward
to reading it. It's great. There is also a film adaptation, if you wanted the easy way out. but our announcement is basically that we absolutely love Banging Book Club. Banging Book Club is not going anywhere, but the podcast is going to have a bit of a hiatus. Our lives are all in turmoil, shall we say?
That makes them sound like they're crumbling. They've gathered so much momentum that we can't catch up with our own lives.
We're all very happy and we're all still friends.
Oh yeah. This isn't like a, what bands have broken up?
Can Spice Girls. Can you imagine if people had listened to this whole podcast and thought we'd fallen out?
Oh my God.
Wow. But basically, we're all a bit overwhelmed by life and work and stuff at the moment, and so we're not going to be doing like the monthly podcast recordings, but we're still going to be very much active online on our Twitter and our Instagram, which are both at Banging Book Club. And at least one of us will always be reading the book and be able to talk about it. We'll be active on Goodreads. There might just be some other like fun things that we throw in there, but we're just not going to put load of pressure on ourselves to do that, but as and when stuff happens we will let you know,
because we started book club
it was a drunken decision.
It's so crazy how we think about it now,
in 2015, like
the first few episodes that we recorded, I'm sure we were all very drunk for like it was just like the fun thing that the three of us did, and very much, I don't know, I feel like we all got to know each other through doing it as well. And
what did you call it, Lucy? You were like, it's the biggest commitment I've made while drunk. Or like,
oh my gosh.
The biggest 2.5 year commitment I've made while drunk.
It's the longest, it's the longest commitment I've ever had in my life.
It's longer than all of our relationships.
It's longer than my relationships.
But it's not over. This is the thing. It's not the end of Banging Book Club. It's very much still a book club. We very much still encourage you to read along and join in the discussions.
Yeah.
And we've loved everybody reading the book so far. It's very much like a passion project as well, isn't it? It's just something that we're like, we just love it. We don't really have a game plan for it. It's never really made much sense on paper, but we just like love doing it.
Exactly.
Like not doing the podcast is literally just because we're so overwhelmed with the time thing, and we don't want this to feel like work. And then like become to resent it and resent you, our lovely
dear
listeners.
We'll not do our best.
Like, we'll never resent
exactly
you.
And like also I was gonna say, like, it's not a financially sustainable thing either, like we're all still working full-time equivalent roles, so like this is really like, it all happens in our fun time.
Yeah, we take it out of time with our partners and eating time.
Yeah.
And washing
and
time.
We definitely eat at the same time as doing
that's true. We don't lose any eating time.
But you know, it's wonderful that that's a thing that's still a passion project, but it means it can become really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. the book club isn't going anywhere.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
We're still going to be reading all of the books
tweeting from this year. Gifts.
Oh, we want to know exactly what you think of everything as well.
Yeah, and we might experiment with like different ways of reviewing the books too. So you might see us doing YouTube videos about it again, or blog posts. Me and Lucy both have a blog.
Or Twitter chats. Yeah, yeah, Twitter chats, live streams on Instagram. Or, like, the occasional, like, author interview or something.
Yeah,
like
if we can persuade someone to sit down with us.
Yeah. When we catch those celebs.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, so follow us all on social media and watch what we're doing, and definitely watch Banging Book Club Twitter.
Yeah. Exactly. And follow us on Instagram on Banging Book Club, at Banging Book Club.
Yeah.
I promise it'll be a bit more active than it currently is. But, yeah, we love you lots. We're still here. Maybe not audio.
Just trying to overachieve in our lives.
Exactly.
We're acting out what we learned from the books, which is boss it.
Yeah, exactly. And to put yourself first.
Yeah.
Which we kind of are for a bit.
Yeah.
We always are, really.
Yeah.
Right, I'm not going to lie, ladies. I really need a wee.
I do look tense. Like... I was like...
Cool. Right. How do we end these things? I can't even remember. This is not goodbye forever. We'll see you online. Next book is The Colour Purple.
We love you lots. We love
you. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.